What's up? I'm Jordy Angela.
And it's your main man, B-Dot.
And this is The Checkup. B-Dot, how you doing today?
I'm good, girl. How about yourself? I can't complain. I cannot complain.
I'm pretty good. I've now recovered from Miami losing the finals. I wasn't doing so well for a long time, but I'm back. And, you know, I'm getting there. So, there's a few things we can tackle today.
Well, I mean, wait. I mean, speaking of Miami, I think we might as well go right into it. Your boy, Patrick Riley said there's an asterisk.
Did he call him Patrick? Oh my.
Yes, Mr. Patrick Riley. He said there's an asterisk, however you say it. Next to this title. A lot of people took it, you know, they took the wrong way. They thought it said it'd be an asterisk towards the, you know, on the Lakers title, but they said no. For this championship run for Miami, there's an asterisk because he feels as though that if Bam and Dragic was 100% healthy, it would at least went to a game 7. Expand on that for me, Mrs. Joy Heat.
Everybody, bro, you're not the first person to call me that, and that is so weird. But anyways, I agree with him in the aspect of if they were healthy when it was game 7, I still feel like the Astro thing isn't fair because had Miami won, he would not have said that at the end of the day. So I feel like that was messed up to even just include the asterisk. Now, he did say leave it off of the Lakers side, but put it on Miami's side. So basically, I guess because they had players injured, give them an excuse and put an asterisk on their side, but do not put an asterisk on the Lakers side. And the media freaking like misconstrued it and made it sound like he was hating. And I don't think he was trying to hate. I think he just wanted everybody to know that if they were all healthy, which I do believe, that Miami could have beat them or at least went to game 7. So I agree with him. But if he meant to, you know, throw Shea LeBron, then I did not like that whatsoever. I don't think that was cool of Pat Riley to do.
Nah, I mean, I feel what Pat says. In their mind, you know, he feels as though they lost, but he feels as though that, you know, you're not saying they could have won, but of course, you know, that's what he was thinking. But he was just saying in terms of if we were at full health, then, man. I mean, you know, we would have won, you know, we would have made it.
I agree.
Or it would have been a better competitive series. But I mean, you could say that about any championship. You could say that about that Warriors championship where Steph Curry, every person they played against, every guard was injured. From, you know, from Drew Holiday to, you know, to the Patrick Beverleys to et cetera, et cetera. So you could say that if, you know, if they were healthy, then the Warriors might have not won that year. But if was a fifth, we all be drunk as hell. So I'm sorry, Mr. Patterson, Patrick Riley. Maybe next year, brother. Maybe next year. Now, or maybe in 3 months. Let's put it like that.
Yeah. December 22nd. That's what they're trying to get it to. So let me ask you this. So, you know, we just saw Miami lose in the finals to the Lakers. I want to ask you, what do you think Miami, like, who do you think Miami needs to pursue in the offseason? Do you think that should, like stick to where they are with the players they have? Do you think they should pursue a big, a rim protector, another playmaker? Like, what do you think they need right now? Or do you think they need to change anything at all?
Man, it depends on who they're looking, who would be in those trade assets.
Right.
I know he doesn't want to get rid of Tyler because they said he has, they feel like he has Devin Booker potential. But, I mean, I like Bradley Beal, man. And the reason why I like Bradley is because he's another one of those guys that could have helped Jimmy in terms of, you know, create his own shot and get his own shot off. You know, Jimmy did his thing. He kind of ran out of gas, you know, towards that last game. Even Jimmy said it, you know, he's not the best. He's not the most athletic player in the world, but he's very efficient. He knows how to get the job done. But at the end of the day, you kind of need that guy that's able to force those shots and be able to get it on his own, you know, because, I mean, it's tough. You know, Tyler Herro, he's going to get there. Bam, still learning. I mean, if Dragic wasn't injured, that is still, you know, that would have helped him. But he's not as explosive as Bradley Beal is, as we see, in terms of getting his shot off. Bradley Beal can also score. And the way the Lakers guards was guarding, I mean, they would have had a tough battle with him, whether you would have put it on Danny Green on him or Kyle Kuzma. Bradley Beal would have got his off.
Right.
As far as
Giannis, and he's younger.
Yeah, right. And as far as Giannis going there, I don't know how that really would have worked. Because, I mean, that I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I like Bam. And I think if you replace Bam with Giannis with Bam, it's not the same thing, but it'll put a little bit more pressure on the defense. But at the end of the day, Giannis still not consistent with that outside jump, and you can just really just clog the paint up, you know? And
right.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I like Bradley Beal. I like them. I like bringing in another guard. Because as we see, the small ball, you know, the small ball works. You don't really need as much height. And yeah, especially when they're clicking on all cylinders, we see they were capable of beating the Lakers with what they had. So I feel as though
very capable.
So I think adding just another offensive threat to them to give them more options to add some more a little continuity to their offense, not just, you know, Jimmy Butler trying to create for everyone else, or you know, Duncan Robinson just coming off screens and trying to shoot every time.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah. So yeah. What about yourself? I don't think they're that far off, but I think, you know, I think they could use someone of significance if it's just right. One person, or if it's a collective of players. I heard Paul George trying to get out there to Miami.
Heck no, we don't freaking want him. Return to sender. We do not want anything to do. We're trying to win. Okay,
oh my God.
Not plummet. We're trying to win.
So what? You, how you feel about that?
If you're looking for a guy to destroy your team, then Paul George is the one.
Chill, man. Anyways, chill. Go.
Okay, I agree with you. I feel like they need another guard. I wouldn't mind seeing a rim protector as well. But as you can see, even with the Lakers, they only used Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee when they needed to. So I wouldn't say, like, they need a rim protector, but I think the next thing, like, the main thing they need is a go-to scorer, obviously, whether that's a guard, shooting guard, whatever, that can also make plays. The only problem, if you're trading for one or you're going to sign one, is you're going to let someone go. Kendrick Nunn's a guard, Goran's a guard, Jimmy Butler's a guard, Tyler Hero's a guard. So somebody's going to lose minutes. And then Miami's all into like developing players. So I want to see, the only way I can see that working out is if they trade a guard for another guard, or a guard in pieces or picks for another guard. So, cause I don't see that many guards on one team all developing, all getting playing time. Unless they like switch positions and crap. I know Jimmy Butler is you know, he's capable, but Tyler Hero, Kendrick, Goran, I don't know about all of that. So we'll see what happens with that. But I do agree with you. Another go-to scorer would be really, really good for them.
Right, right.
So yeah.
I like
we'll
that.
We'll definitely see what happens.
We will. You know, Pat Riley, he's pretty, you know, he's pretty good with bringing players to him. We've also heard that Miami has become a hot commodity for free agents so far. Apparently there's a rumor that a lot of free agents have already committed to teams, but we'll get into that on the next episode of The Checkup. Yeah, man. How do you feel about LeBron, you know, sticking on the whole Miami and Lakers thing? How do you feel about LeBron? You know, they're planning on starting the season, they said December 1st, which is not too far away.
I thought it was December 22nd.
If training camp is going to start December 1st, if we want to, you know, put it in our perspective.
Oh, got it.
You
right,
feel me?
Right,
like,
right.
So a lot of people, I know we had your main man, Danny Greenlight Green, said that he feels as though that if they started that early, LeBron would at least take the first month off. How do you feel about that, and how would that affect other players and other teams' decision on starting, you know, on time, or are they going to take the LeBron, you know, type route if they have that clout too?
I just think it's funny how the one that you could say contributed the least have the most to say. It's just kind of weird. The ones that almost cost them the championship are the first ones to impress runs. But that's none of my business. Anyway, like I was saying before, I feel like I get where they're coming from. But at the same time, now I feel for Miami and Lakers the most. Because what you don't want is for them to come back earlier and then injuries happen. That's what you don't want. So I feel for them in that aspect. But at the same time, they had 4 months off before the season started back up. And then their season shorter. They're thinking about cutting out All-Star. Well, they're thinking about cutting out All-Star weekend and just getting them 2 weeks off. That's what I heard. And I also heard that if they don't start it if they started in January instead of December, they're going to lose, the league's going to lose $600 million. So, I mean, I understand both sides of it. I feel like just given their 4-month break before, you know, they started back, I feel like, you know, they'll be fine. I'm not sure how Brian feels about it. I seen Brian in the gym a few days ago on his story. So I don't know how he feels about it personally, but I feel like it'll be okay. But like I said, what I don't want to see is injuries resulting in, you know, the season starting earlier. So
I feel you on that aspect. Heck yeah, that'd be tough, man, you know, injuries. But I mean, shoot, I know a lot of players are itching to get back, you know, get back into the gym, get back into the season. One of those teams are the Phoenix Suns, which I'm definitely looking forward to what offseason moves they'll make. I really like Fred VanVleet going over there, and maybe a Beatrice or whatever his name is, the guy, the shooter from Washington. But I wouldn't mind seeing it start. It just depends on how the player is feeling. I know LeBron is ready to get back to it active. Of course, he's, you know, he's happy to see his family. And I know the only thing I'm really worried about is I heard they're gonna be holding their games, you know, respectfully, at their arenas. And of course it's not gonna be, you know, fully, you know, at capacity, but it'll just be interesting to see how that will work, because a lot of those players have to go back to their family, and a lot of their families, you know, aren't under the same rules they are. You know, their wife may, you know, go out shopping, or may want to go, you know, somewhere, hang with her friends, or just go out in general to run errands or do whatever she wants, maybe get her nails done. And, you know, you got to make sure, you know, she's COVID-free. Plus, if you have a teenage daughter or son that, you know, wants to go out and, you know, wherever they are, it may be open there, but still at risk to bring back corona. That'd be very interesting to see. We all know the arenas are going to be safely sanitized and, you know, properly prepared, but it's the players' outside life. So, because it's tough to do a bubble for all 20-something odd teams. So, I'll be excited to see that. I'm definitely excited for the free agents and see where they go and, you know, how this season's going to look. It'll be very interesting. The NBA usually figure it out and does it right, but we'll see if they, you know.
If Adam Silver pulls this series, like this season, off with no cases or little to none cases, he's the GOAT.
He needs to run for president.
He is the GOAT.
Adam Silver, literally. President.
For real, for real. He do a better job than Trump. He's already done a better job than Trump.
Hey, man. Listen here. So, speaking of them Lakers, Joy, who you think the biggest threat? You know, I guess, I mean, still, ooh, free agent is still pending. I heard, you know, rumors that they're going to break that Clipper squad up. But as of now, you know, who is the biggest threat to the Lakers? And, you know, if the team, if A or B such team adds some pieces to themselves, who would be the biggest threat then?
I think it's going to be the Warriors. I think it may be the Warriors because, I mean, the thing with Stephen Clay is they know how to win. Yeah. If Draymond Green stays... And a lot of people are saying trade him. If you're not getting somewhat, like, if you're not getting him plus a few picks in exchange for, like, a superstar, I will leave him where he is because he first of all, he gets his hands dirty, and he's a key to their chemistry. That's another thing. And he can put up threes. So my thing is, but I feel like Golden State as a whole, they know how to win. I feel like it's, you know, Stephen Clay, they've done it. They got 3 rings. So, I mean, they obviously know how to win. They're still in their prime. They're Hall of Fame, you know, shooters, offensive players. So, my thing is, I would never count them out. And if anybody knows how to beat LeBron, it's Golden State. And I feel like, at the end of the day, yeah, they don't have KD anymore. But I feel like they're going to make the proper moves in the offseason. And draft-wise, they got a top draft pick. And they're going to make, like I said, moves in the offseason, get whoever they need to get. But I feel like when it's all said and done, I feel like in the West, the Warriors are going to be the biggest threat. I don't see the Clippers being the biggest threat. I feel like the Nuggets, they're going to be in the mix, but I don't see them being a huge threat to the Lakers. I feel like the biggest threat to the Lakers is, you know, are the Warriors, and that's how I feel about it. What about you?
Yeah, I like that. A lot of people are, you know, they're forgetting about Stephen Clay. They're forgetting about the Warriors just because they had a down year, and like, these guys are champions. This is the same team that transcended the NBA into what it is now, into the small ball, into the everyone shooting more threes and seeing that, you know, Steph Curry changed the game, and, you know, adding Clay and then adding a dope, lovely draft prospect with them. If they decide to trade it, you don't know who they're going to end up signing, because the Warriors, they are planning that new beautiful arena in San Francisco. And that is also a great team with a great head coach and a great coaching staff. So that'll be very interesting to see. Yes, if the Warriors come back healthy, I think the Warriors will give a run to the Lakers just because of their guard depth and how well they shoot it. Of course, going to be pinning their defense and how healthy Draymond is and Klay. But Klay looks good. Steph looks good. Draymond looks good. It's just all about, you know, getting those other surrounding pieces. So it'll be really interesting to see, man. Right now, the Lakers, they're still the front runners because – they still have their same team intact. The Clippers seem like they're getting blown up. The Rockets, of course, they're still trying to figure it out. Hopefully, you know, they do figure it out because, you know, we love James and we love Russ. And, you know, we'll see how the Trailblazers are looking, the Suns, et cetera. The Mavericks, we'll see what moves the Mavericks make.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, if it's not the Warriors, the Mavericks will be – listen, you know how I had Miami ask my Dorkers and this year – the Mavericks are gonna be on dark. If they can stay healthy, they can beat anybody. If the Mavericks stay healthy, they can beat anybody. I'm dead serious. I can see it like now. So yeah.
I love that. Same. Speaking about duos and disruption in conferences, how do you does Kyrie and KD, are they forcing it? Are they doing the most right now? You know, they recently came up, Kyrie had a statement about finally having somebody that he trusts to take the same shots he's able to talk. Yeah, KD's got into it with somebody else on Twitter. Now they're talking about, you know, basically saying it's going to be a joint head coaching job. We just seen the Nets just sign Amari Stoudemire as their assistant coach, which is dope to me. I love the players as coaches, especially those two players that were former teammates that also damn near transcended the pick and roll game. You know, after John Stockton and Malone, a little bit more athletic wise with Amari Stoudemire down there. And now it's like they're coming out with a whole shoe together, a combination shoe together, and they ain't even done shit. Are they trying to force this buddy, we're best friends down our throat, versus besides letting it come natural, kind of how, you know, LeBron and AD kind of did, you know. We've seen LeBron was vouching for AD for about 2-3 years now, trying to get him, you know, to in a Lakers jersey, and he made it happen. But how do you feel about it, man? Is it clout? Is it real, or will it blow up in the season?
This is what I would say. I do believe it's genuine. I think it's a genuine friendship. I feel like they actually I think they're actually real friends, and I feel like their decision making from the jump, like going to Brooklyn together, I feel like it kind of showed that they are like genuine friends. Because I mean, it was kind of similar to like Russ and Harden in a way, I guess, but it was different because, you know, they're two different type of players and they had two different stigmas at the time. But I feel like it's genuine. But I feel like we're going to see just how genuine it is when they're tested in a season. Because, I mean, right now, it's all good right now. But, you know, when we're going to see if it's real, and they're going to see if it's real. Because they may think it's all good, you know, all good in the hood, whatever. And then when the season starts up and you're constantly being tested every night, then that's when, you know, every friendship goes through tests. And I feel like it's going to be one of those things. But I feel like, you know, every player, every KD, every Kyrie has a match for them. And that could be like, they could be the match made in heaven. Who knows? But what I will say, what I didn't like, is when Kevin Durant said that Kyrie Irving was better than Allen Iverson. I did not like that. He recently said that a few days ago. And here's what I'll say. Kyrie Irving, skill level. Kyrie Irving is one of the most skilled guards of all time. You could argue that he's more skilled than Allen Iverson. But to say that he's better when you witness Allen Iverson, okay, take Philly to the finals as a one-man show, you're going to say that he's better than Allen Iverson? I think that was going too far.
That's just blasphemous. I don't know. I don't. I don't. Just I don't. I don't understand how Kevin Durant, the same guy who joined a 73-win team that just beat him in the playoffs before, and he joined the Warriors and won a championship with them. That's just ostentatiously just soft to me, Joy. I don't understand how, but maybe if he brushed his hair and it affected his brain cells, maybe he'd think straight. I said it. Well, Stephen A. Smith, I honestly feel as though, Max, say whatever you got to say, Max, because I don't want to, first thing, it can be an argument that Kyrie Irving is better than Allen Iverson. And the reason why I say that, Stephen, is because if you want to take in the physical attributes, Kyrie is more bigger than Allen Iverson. He shoots it better than Allen Iverson. He's also had better leaders than Allen Iverson. And that's just first. But second, hell no! That's crazy. That's sick,
he
bro.
He said it.
All right, if we want to compare AI and Kyrie, let's take those two teams they had. He probably did have a better team when he's with the Cavaliers by himself and still wasn't able to do nothing with those guys. And the way Allen Iverson was able to, the guys he had.
And don't forget about Boston. Don't forget about right. Kyrie and Boston.
You're right. And it was almost into comparison of how LeBron Cavaliers they had, you know, when LeBron had little to nothing. I was looking at the LeBron highlights from when he played against the Pistons and the Celtics and the team he had around him. He had goddamn Daniel Gibson started.
Booby.
Sasha. We can't forget about Sasha, the dude with the last.
Ilgauskas.
Is Ilgauskas. He had Anderson Varejao. Eric Snow. Eric Snow was the starting point. Eric Snow, Joy. Eric Snow wasn't that great of a player when he was with Allen Iverson, and I still thought he was old as hell. But now that I think about it, he was with LeBron starting this. Yeah, so, and Kyrie didn't have a lot around him. He had Anthony Bennett.
Yeah.
You feel me? Anthony Bennett was probably more talented than anybody on that damn 76ers
yeah,
team.
Yeah, even had. With the bust.
Right. So, yeah, that's tough to say, man. That's tough to say. I don't know. Kevin Durant, I know you want to hype your best friend up more
like a yes type situation.
But
and it's good to see KD believe in Kyrie like this, because, you know, it's good to see that. It's similar to LaVar Ball and his sons believing. But at the same time, it's just like let it play out first. Like, let's see what y'all look like next year. Let's see, you know, what test y'all go through. And then if Kyrie shocks the world and Kyrie becomes this great player and if he keeps developing and getting better and better, then it's still AI. But, you know, come on. It may sound better on our ears. Sheesh. AI, come on now. Let's come on. Let's
fix it, Jesus.
Lord. Okay. Yes. So last question for you before we close up really fast. Give me your top contender for the East and the West next year. And I know obviously we don't know yet, because there's going to be trades that happen, the draft has to happen, free agency. But as of right now, hypothetically speaking, knowing that each organization is going to make certain moves, who do you think is going to be the top contender for East and the West next year?
I still think if Giannis stays in Milwaukee, that they'll be number one. In terms of wins, it's the regular season, Joy. You know how that is.
Right.
Run up the wins in the regular season. Try to position yourself properly for the playoffs. So if Giannis stays in Milwaukee, and even if they do add a piece, I still, you know, they'll be the top team, but I don't think they'll win it all. I think it'll come down once again to Miami and the Celtics. I think Miami learned something about themselves. They've seen something that they can really do, and I feel like they're going to take that momentum and keep it pushing. I think they're going to get a good free agent. If it's not a great one, they would get one that would definitely help them. I don't know if it's going to put them over the hump, but like we said, I don't think they need that much, because they had injuries. Like you said, they're capable of beating the Lakers with what they had. So just think of them coming back healthy. That'd be a scary sight. And I love the Celtics. I think it's definitely a learning experience for the Celtics. You know, that young squad finally getting some success in the playoffs. I like them. I think it's gonna go through those, you know, those two guys. And of course we like Brooklyn. Of course, you know, KD and Kyrie, that puts the guys right there at the top of the pack, but we haven't seen them play together yet. You know, Joy, they have a rookie head coach, they have a rookie assistant coach, right, and they have two guys that has never played with one another outside of the USA, you know, the USA games. So, and a lot of those other pieces have to come together. They have a lot of ball hungry guys on that team. Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, LeVert, those guys are, you know, even Joe Harris, they need the ball. Not saying they won't be able to figure it out, but we'll see. Those guys are also ball hungry. So right now my top two picks are the Celtics and Miami Heat with, you know, I'm giving the edge to the Miami Heat as of now, but it's really close with the Celtics because the Celtics, those guys were looking really well. They are healthy. And it seems like, you know, they were kind of figuring out, you know, Kemba Walker didn't have his best outing, but you know, we'll see what Danny Ainge is going to do, but we know how cutthroat Danny Ainge is. He says nobody is safe, you know, maybe right, just Tatum, you know, he may be the only safe guy on that team, but I like Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum is the more prettier, popular pick, but I like Jaylen Brown. He gets the job done. He puts his head down and not saying Jason Tatum doesn't, but I think Jaylen Brown is a little bit more consistent and I like him better on the defensive end. He's going to be a great two-way defender, a 3-and-D player down the line. So, yeah, man, I think, I'm going to say Miami Heat and the Celtics, Joy.
Okay. What about your West?
My West, sticking with the Lakers. I like the Lakers, and I'm loving the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, I'm looking forward to the Warriors, but, you know, they got to figure it out. You know, they don't have that much depth, you know, after Andrew Wiggins, you know. So we're going to see, you know, that bench, what they do with that bench, what they do with those players. So right now, Joey, I'm feeling the Lakers and I'm feeling the Mavericks. I feel like the Mavericks are going to make some type of strong move in the offseason. Porzingis is going to come back healthier and stronger. And we'll see. I heard Victor Oladipo once out of Indiana. Not saying he'll be that much of a game changer for the Mavericks, but I kind of like him more than Tim Hardaway Jr. You kind of know what you're going to get with
him. Got it. Okay. Well, in the East, I like Miami, of course. I would never stop believing in those guys. And I see Boston, the Bucks. I feel like if the Bucks take care of business, which they can this offseason, if they get like a good point guard, a solid one, I think they should let Eric Bledsoe go, honestly. Maybe. And I was watching the kid Gowie's YouTube video. He did one on trade scenarios. And he was talking about, I think he said, sending Eric Bledsoe to the Clippers. I think that's what he said, because it's a defensive team. He can play make. So I like him over there, but I forgot what he said in return. But regardless, I feel like they need a solid point guard, whether it's Chris Paul, whether it's someone like that, that can just go and get the job done. Even like Jrue Holiday, somebody. But they have to take care of business in the offseason. If they take care of business in the offseason and get a good guard, I see them as a huge threat in the East along with Miami. I like Boston, but I feel like there's something going on that may not get them over the hump. I don't know if it's Daniel Tice. I don't know what it is, but I feel like maybe their bench can be better. I don't know, but it's something like weird going on. But like I said, like you said, Jaylen Brown, he's amazing. I feel like you could arguably say he's one of the best, if not the best player on that team, whatever, because I feel like under pressure, he's the best. And I feel like he keeps his head more than anybody. But Miami is, you know, who I have coming out the East, obviously. If Brooklyn doesn't do it, because Brooklyn, they're figuring it out, but they have a lot of depth. That's the scary part. Caris LeVert, Spencer, Joe Harris, DeAndre Jordan, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. Like, that team, if they get it together, like, coaching-wise and chemistry-wise, and they're consistent and they can stay healthy, that team is legit scary for anybody, including Miami. So they're scary as heck. I'm intimidated by them if they get it together. So I'm scared of them. I would say In a perfect world of everything like gels perfectly, I would say Miami and Brooklyn. And then in the West, I would say obviously the Lakers. I think the Lakers, they need to make a few changes. Danny Green, I don't think he's a good fit there. I think he should go. I think a few other players can go as well, but I'm not gonna talk about that right now. But anyways, the Lakers, I would say they're a top contender. I would say the Warriors, and I would say the Mavericks. That's what I would say. So, yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know. Joy, damn, they won a championship. I know Danny ain't show up like that, but they won it.
He doesn't fit there.
He did, but we only saying that because how we see him in the playoffs, he did a hell of a job.
No, look. I'm explaining why. So I was talking to a good friend of mine, and he's really close to Rodney Hood. And he said that Rodney Hood played with LeBron, obviously. He said that when he played with LeBron, the system was so different that he had to remind himself how good he was, because he said that when he played with LeBron, it's so different. The playmaking is so different that, you know, he wasn't knocking down shots that he never would knock down, and he lost confidence. But he said when he ended up leaving, he ended up getting better, and then before he was better. I feel like with Danny Green, it's not the fact that he's a bad player. I just don't think he fits with LeBron's style of play. LeBron likes to dribble. I'm going to pass it to you with 2 seconds left. You shoot the ball. That's how he does it. But with the Mavericks and even with, you know, Toronto, I felt like there's more playmaking that goes around his shot. And I felt like if he goes to a team other than the Lakers, I feel like we're going to see a different Danny Green next year. So I don't even think it's him as a player or he's a bad player. I just think that the system doesn't fit him. And everybody can't play with LeBron. It's not LeBron's fault, but I just feel like there are certain players that can do it and certain players that can't do it. And I don't think they flatter each other's game that well.
I think the system fits him perfectly, because that's what Danny Green modeled his whole career down around, was those catch and shoot shots, and all those shots that he got, he was wide open, just missed them.
Now that last one, he was all wide open. I don't know how he missed that.
But like even all the other shots that he got in the game, like those are the shots that he shoots. Danny Green doesn't really do much. He doesn't pump fake and take people off the dribble with Toronto. You know, he was shit. I think he got more shots with the Lakers than he did with Toronto, if you want to keep it a bag, 3-point attempt wise, just because it's way more opportunities. I think I do agree when the pressure wise, that's what it is. He may not be it may be too much pressure, but in terms of the system and him being a shooter and a catch and shoot shooter, not even as much movement as Duncan Robinson does, is running around catching off screens. Like Danny's whole career has been catch and shoot. So I think when the Lakers signed him, they thought they were getting a, you know, which they did, you know, a knockdown shooter, but he just didn't happen in the playoffs. I just, like you said, the whole Rodney Hood effect, I think it might have just been the pressure of the pressure of, like, damn, I got to knock down this shot. If I don't knock it down, then shoot, but is LeBron going to be mad at me? I play for the Lakers, the top exposed, one of the top teams in the, if not the top team, you know, popularized in the NBA. So it's going to be a lot of eyes on them, pressures on them. Even when they're losing, everybody want to talk about the Lakers. So I think it might have just been the pressure, especially in the playoffs and trying to get LeBron that third ring with this third franchise. You never know. We'll see. We'll see next year. We'll see how, you know, happens, you know, this upcoming year. I doubt they get rid of Danny. I don't think they will. Just because, I mean, is there a hot market for Danny? You know, it's another team, you know, the way he performed in the playoffs, another team would be like, okay, well, here, you can have Fred Van Fleet, you know, or somebody. I'm just making something up. But I don't think Danny's going nowhere. I don't think the Lakers are going to do too much with that roster. It seems like everybody's going to sign back. And, So, yeah, we're going to see. What grinded your gears this week, Joy?
The freaking ulcer in my eye. Everybody, I have an ulcer in my eye. I slept in my contacts like a little dummy, and now I have an ulcer in my eye. And I've had it for a week and a half. I can't freaking record anything for my Instagram page, and I do not get clear from the doctors until Thursday, hopefully. So I have not been able to go to work. I haven't been able to do anything.
Girl, you better put on them down by three glasses like LeBron and Jamal Murray did and make shit happen.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, that's what grinded my gears. It's painful, but the drops are helping. What about you? What grinded your gears?
Look, What grinding my gears is if I slide in your DM, all right, and you just seen it, you better stop playing. Stop. You don't. You better reply. You better say, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Because now you got me effed up. Now I'm about to take that booking info and I'm about to slide in them emails, all right? And now I'm sending you hard eyes, eggplant emojis.
Snowflakes,
all that in your email. You feel me? So you better either come correct or you're going to have to change that email on God. That's what's grinding my gears.
Oh, my goodness, dog. You're a mess. Don't y'all feel like he got the same grinded gears every time we shoot? I think it's that. It's always female related. Y'all females got to get together because y'all stressing him out.
Y'all missing out on the gym. For real. Stop playing with me. Well, that's it for this episode of Found Out. It's your boy B-Dot with the lovely
Jordy Angela.
And until next time, keep flipping, keep schmipping, and keep making shit hipping. And make sure y'all go to vote and wear your mask.
Yes, please go.
Stay safe, sanitize. Trump 2020! No, I'm just playing.
Oh, no, my God.